It's a delight to welcome you to the Manifest Telecast for a major prophetic update. Now, let me just say that with so much craziness going on in the earth and what appears to be at times depressing and negative news, you stay with me because when we go to the break, I've got something so different and I think it's very exciting. As a prophetic preacher, we oftentimes get accused of being doomers and gloomers. We keep people informed with the times and what's happening, but we also have read the end of the book. And we know for believers and those who know Christ, it ends out very, very well. However, in this message today, America and the Dragon's Sixth Head, I want to read Revelation chapter 12, 3 through 4, and give you a pretty crazy, and I say crazy in a positive sense, prophetic update. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. Now, in the symbolism of the book of Revelation, we know that Revelation 12 talks about a dragon, and in the Greek language, it actually is the Greek word for serpent. And this particular serpent that John saw in the vision had 7 heads with 10 horns. Also in Revelation chapter 12, it is described as a great, and that's mega, large, big, red dragon. And Revelation 6 and 4 talks about how that there was a red horse that was going to come and peace would be taken from the earth and a great sword would be given to it. And we see those two colors used in those two examples. Now, the heads of this dragon or the heads of the serpent or the heads of Satan, and Satan does not have 7 heads, but the symbolism is these 7 heads represent 3 different things. That's what I'm getting to here. The 7 heads are 7 chief spirits that have ruled and affected Israel and Jerusalem and the Jewish people throughout history. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible says to us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And that word principalities is translated in the Greek New Testament as governments. Every nation has a spirit over it. We see, for example, in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, that Michael the archangel is the prince angel, the chief angel, the archangel over the entire nation of Israel. We also know from Revelation chapter 12 and verse 3, when it relates to these 7 heads of the dragon, that these represent 7 main prince spirits that rule the empires of Bible prophecy. And we'll talk about that in a moment. Now, an example of how a prince spirit can rule an empire is found in Daniel chapter 10, verse 13. There were 2 empires that were connected to the area of ancient Babylon. Daniel, of course, was taken captive into Babylonian captivity, and he was under King Belshazzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, and so all these different kings of Babylon that ruled. There was about 4 kings, that major kings that ruled off and on. One came back twice and ruled, which was Nebuchadnezzar in the time of Daniel. So in that Daniel chapter 10 and verse 13 prophecy, it mentions the prince of Greece, and it also mentions the prince of Persia. Now, these were not human men. These were very strong demonic powers that were ruling over the area of Greece and Persia. When the Babylonian Empire fell, it was taken over by the Persians. When the Persian Empire fell, it was taken over by the Grecians. So these prince spirits were involved in overseeing the governmental affairs of the kings of these empires. So I want you to keep that in mind, that the 7 heads of the dragon represent 7 chief demon spirits, the strongest in Satan's kingdom, that have influenced, as I said a moment ago, Jerusalem, Israel, and the Jewish people. Now, the 7 heads are also representative of human rulers who would rule through world history. For example, the main ruler that Moses dealt with in the Egyptian empire was a particular Pharaoh. The main ruler that Daniel dealt with in the Persian empire was King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, remember, there were other pharaohs, there were other kings, but there comes a particular ruler, a particular man that becomes the center of that particular empire. An example, in Revelation chapter 17, it talks about how that there would be an 8th empire of Bible prophecy, and it's ruled by a man called the Antichrist. So the Antichrist is the main ruler of the eighth empire. And then there's a spirit, according to the same chapter in Revelation, that comes out of the bottomless pit that possesses or controls the Antichrist. So there we see in Revelation how there's a strong prince spirit connected to a man. And so throughout the book of Revelation with these seven heads of the dragons, there was a prince spirit connected to one main leader. Now let's look at, again, the seven heads. The seven heads of the dragon are seven empires in Bible prophecy. The first was the Egyptian empire, which is noted in the Bible beginning in the 40, in the chapters of Genesis that are in the 40s all the way up to over chapter 50. And they continue. It continues through the book of Exodus chapter 12. Now, once again, this is the Egyptian empire. Following the Egyptian empire in Bible history came the Assyrian empire. They were in the time of the Judges, and that is a book found in our Old Testament, the book of Judges, all the way through the time of Solomon. The third empire following the Assyrian empire was the Babylonian empire. Now, they are featured especially in the book of Daniel. Following the Babylonian empire came the Media-Persian empire. They are mentioned in the book of Daniel, and also they are mentioned in Ezra and Nehemiah. Again, this was the empire that overthrew the Babylonians. Now, the Grecians came along and overthrew the Media-Persian empire. And that is predominantly the time between the Testaments, between the book of Malachi and the book of the Matthew that gives us the introduction of the ministry of John the Baptist. Now, following the Grecian Empire came the Roman Empire. Now, the Roman Empire is the empire that you see all throughout the New Testament era. Then you have the seventh empire of Bible prophecy, which has 10 kings and their kingdoms aligning themselves eventually with the Antichrist. Now, let's ask ourselves this question. What do these seven empires have in common? What is the main thing that the seven demonic prince spirits who have assisted ruling these seven empires of Bible prophecy, what do they have in common? And I've said it twice already. They all seven of these had dealings with Israel and the Jewish people. All seven of these had dealings in some way with the city of Jerusalem. And all seven, now listen to me carefully, this is where I'm going with this. All seven of these empires can represent a specific spiritual attack of Satan using demonic activity to attack you and your life and your family life. These seven main spirits represent main spirits that battle believers today. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the seven empires of Bible prophecy, and I'm going to show you what their main feature was. What was the one main thing that they did in their day, and how that spirit of that empire, not the empire, listen to me carefully, the prince spirit is still in the earth today, and how it attempts to initiate what it did then on God's people today. Now follow with me, because I call this the return of the ancient spirits. First of all is the Egyptian empire. Egypt is absolutely a picture of spiritual bondage. And in the New Testament, we read this: you have not been given the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So in other words, in your life, if you are in encountering a bondage, and sometimes the bondage is something that you do, sometimes it's something you're addicted to, sometimes it could be a habit, but it is a spirit of bondage, which is a reminder of what Pharaoh attempted to do to the children of Israel in the land of Egypt. He attempted to make slaves out of them and keep them in bondage. So that Egyptian prince spirit's main strategy is to keep you in bondage. And again, when I talk about this, we're giving you an imagery. We're giving you a picture. We're showing you how the kingdom of Satan operates. All right. Now, after the Egyptian empire, as you know, came the Assyrian empire. Now, what was the main feature that the Assyrians were known for? And the answer is they were known for division. The spirit of division is represented by the Assyrian Empire. How do we know that? Because the Assyrians took captive, they actually split the tribes of Israel and took 10 tribes into captivity. And the only two tribes that were not taken into captivity were the area of down in Judah and Benjamin. And of course, that's the area of Jerusalem and Bethlehem and the whole area of Judea. Now, think about what I'm going to say at the amount of division that is in the earth today. Consistently, churches are being divided. Churches are being split. Men come along who are opportunists, and they will pull people out of a church and try to hurt the church that those people are from to get more members to come with them, more people to follow them. They will be divisive toward other ministers, trying to cause division. You also have divorce. Divorce is very rampant, not only in secular society, it has become rampant in the church today. And man, do I have to tell you about politics. I mean, the country is divided 50-50. 50% that are moderate to conservative, 50% that tend to be woke culture, liberal, whatever the case may be, whatever you want to call them. But the point is, the Assyrian Empire is the spirit of division. Now, let me say something to you that's very clear, especially if you are a Christian, and especially if you're a part of the body of Christ. There are seven sins called deadly sins in the book of Proverbs. And I want to tell you what the Bible says. We talk about shedding innocent blood, and the body of Christ has really emphasized that one as one of the seven deadly sins. But listen to what else it says. God hates a false witness that speaks lies and sows discord among the brethren. Proverbs chapter 6, 19. So if you're one that you have retaliated and attacked, and you've got vengeance on your hand, and you're attacking a minister or a church, and you'll do anything you can to destroy them by speaking of becoming a false witness. You talk about things and you weren't even there. You talk about situations you were never even a part of it, or you speak lies. God hates that, just like he does shedding innocent blood. Now go chew on that for a while. But the Assyrian Empire is an empire of division. Now the next empire that follows in Bible prophecy are the Babylonians. Now, the Babylonians absolutely were associated with confusion. What do I mean by that? Okay, let's go back to the original idea of where the Babylonian Empire originated. The Babylonian Empire originated in the area of Babel. Now, what was Babel? It was the Tower of Babel. And the Tower of Babel, mentioned in Genesis chapter 11, is where the first major world government was organized, the first major world religion was organized. But if you look at the meaning of the word and what happened there, it was where God confounded their languages. All right? And so, in other words, when you look at the Babylonian Empire from the time of Babel, its beginning, the word Babel can mean confusion. And the spirit of Babylon is one that tries to hinder the people of God or bring some type of confusion. Now, if you will look at the invasion of the Babylonians many years later after Babel, the Tower of Babel fell, as you know, it did fall, God judged it. But if you go back to Babylon where Daniel was from and you look at it very carefully, here's some of the things they did. Number one, they took out the eyes of the king, which was the leadership. So they took out the understanding. And I'm saying this using the taking out the physical eyes as a metaphor of spiritual understanding. So the spirit of Babylon goes after spiritual leadership to destroy their understanding. The spirit of Babylon, here's the second thing, the king lost his son to the Babylonians. The real attack that's coming now is coming in the homes of many of God's people whose sons and daughters are turning to the world and turning into absolute things that are sin and abominations in the Bible. And the enemy or the spirit of Babylon is trying to confuse the family, confuse people's gender identity, confuse just all sorts of things, because that is the plot of the spirit of Babylon. And then we find out that in Psalms chapter 137, 1 through 4, that during the Babylonian invasion, when the Jews ended up in Babylonian captivity, it says they could not sing the Lord's song in a strange land. The spirit of Babylon wants to put you in such a confused state that you feel like that you can't sing, you can't worship, and you can't even go to church and praise God anymore. Now, folks, I'm sharing with you that these particular empires all had a spirit, and each of these empires had a leading thing that marked them. And we're showing you how those seven, remember, the seven head of the dragon is not found just in the Old Testament. It's found in the book of Revelation. It is a future prophecy. It is seven empires. It is seven prince spirits that this is what we're talking about here. We're showing you the comparison of what those spirits do. Let's get to number four. The Media-Persian Empire represents absolute complete frustration. And here's the reason why. I'm going to read this to you. Ezra chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Then the people of the Lord weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purposes all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, the king of Persia. So what is this empire doing? What's the Media-Persian Empire doing? Confusing and frustrating. Literally frustrating the people of God. They tried to build. They tried to pass laws where they couldn't build. They railed on them. They They rebuke them. They curse them. They pass laws to hinder them. Does that sound familiar today? This spirit frustrates your purpose. This spirit keeps you in total, complete frustration. This spirit wants to stop the progress of the growth of the church, stop the progress of the growth of your ministry, stop the progress of everything God is trying to do in your life. And if you remember this, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 even said that he had a hindering spirit that was trying to buffet him. And that means to deal one blow after the other. And the Lord allowed it to happen, of course, but he had to pray. And God said, my grace will be sufficient for you. So you find out in the Bible, especially the New Testament, that the religious leaders, the Sadducees and Pharisees, were always continually trying to hinder the apostles. And you see how they died. 11 out of 12 of them died martyrs. Now, I did a YouTube video a while back called Are You Frustrating the Grace of God? If you did not watch that yet, you need to go to my YouTube channel and watch that, because Galatians 2:21 talks about do not frustrate the grace of God. That word frustrate can mean to neutralize something, because when you are frustrated in the grace of God, you begin to neutralize not God's wanting to send you grace, not God's ability to send you grace, but how you receive grace in your own life. Now, the fifth empire is called the Grecian Empire. What were they known for? Well, the Grecian Empire is actually humanism. And it's all about philosophy. It's all about humanism. And so the Grecian Empire was divided when Alexander the Great, who was the head of the Grecian Empire, and he was the prophetic leader that Daniel saw there in the book of Daniel, the great he-goat that arose with a notable horn in its eyes. When he died, Alexander the Great's empire was divided up into four different kingdoms. Now, let me tell you what the Grecian Empire is noted for. And it was the rise of a man by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes from the Assyrian area. When Antiochus Epiphanes came into Israel and overthrew Jerusalem, first of all, he defiled the altar by offering a pig on the altar. He would not let the Jews circumcise their sons. He would not allow Sabbath worship. He would not allow the reading of the Bible. And so when I see this spirit of the Grecian Empire, its emphasis is humanism. Its humanism is New Age. It's humanism and New Age combined. And it's do away with anything spiritual. Do away with Bible reading. No Bible reading. No public prayer. No celebrating festivals or Jewish festivals. No celebrating Christian holidays at all. And so this spirit uses leadership in states, governors in states, etc., to come against organized Christianity, to hinder Christianity any way they can. And I think we see that in different parts of our nation right now, and you definitely see it in parts of the world. Now, the sixth empire, and this is the one I want to get to right here, because this is the sixth head, this is where America is at, was the Roman Empire. And America's parallels, and I'll teach this on one program, are so compared to Rome, it is absolutely almost ridiculous, all right? Now, here's Rome's spirit. Clean your ears out and listen to me, all you folks watching, especially North America. It was the spirit of tolerance. Listen, they literally were tolerant toward every sin. Anything that was a sin, they didn't care. They didn't call it sin. Everything, all the laws we're passing today were already permissible in Rome. I'm not going to go into all those. You know what they have been, the abominations that have been passed. But they did not like religious Jews, and they hated Christianity. And the reason they hated Christianity, because Christians believed in another king who was Jesus, another kingdom, which was the kingdom of God. Christians believe you should have a Sabbath day. And so I'm telling you something, that this spirit of tolerance is the spirit that's trying to come on America. So in other words, if you say that is a sin, you're intolerant. If you say we should not do that, you're intolerant. You need more tolerance. And it's real funny that when you begin to teach something that some of the people on the extreme left do not agree with, they'll show you who's intolerant. They'll burn the building down. They'll start a protest. They'll throw eggs. They'll scream. They'll holler and froth at the mouth. They show you who the real intolerant people are when you do something that disagrees with their tolerance. See? And so I began to think about this. You know, was Simeon and Levi tolerant when the sons of Heth raped their sister? Absolutely not. And I can keep going on here. Was Moses tolerant when the boy cursed his parents? And the answer is absolutely not. not. Were the Levites tolerant of 3,000 who worshiped a gold cow? Absolutely not. Were the Hebrews tolerant of the Benjamites who turned against traditional marriage? Answer is not. Was Joshua tolerant of the heathen who lived in Jericho? Absolutely not. Was David tolerant of Goliath? Did David try to make a peace treaty with Goliath and say, let's make peace and get along? No. When he heard him cursing the Hebrew God, he said, I'm coming after him. Was Elijah tolerant with Jezebel when he screamed at her and said the dogs were going to lick her blood? No. Was John the, well, that's just Old Testament. Was John the Baptist tolerant with the immorality of King Herod when he called the Pharisees a bunch of vipers? Was Jesus tolerant of the hypocrites when he called them a whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones? Was Peter tolerant for Simon Magus trying to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit with money? Was Paul tolerant for telling the church to turn a boy over to Satan for sleeping with his stepmother? Was the Holy Spirit tolerant for slaying Ananias and Sapphira? Listen to me. We speak the truth in love. We speak the truth in love, but if we're not careful, we will come under this Roman spirit, this sixth head, which is extreme tolerance, and we won't want to say anything for fear of being criticized. We won't want to say anything for fear of being rejected. Pastors won't want to preach things from the pulpit for fear of losing members. Let me tell you something. I have been preaching the gospel for 46 years. I am what I am. I preach what I preach, and I will keep doing what I keep doing. And we've come under all kinds of very weird attacks and opposition, but guess what? We are still preaching the word of God, and we're still standing with the truth of God's word, and we'll continue to do so, because when you stand with God's word, you will stand in God's favor. So I want to encourage you to just get in the word, love people, love sinners, love souls, but always stand for what you know is true and what you know is right, because you will answer to God, not for what they said about you. You will answer to God for what you believed in your own heart. Woo! Wow, that's a word. All right, now, I want you to give me your attention in the next advertisement, something exciting for you and your family. All right, watch this.
This is Perry Stone. I am so excited to be able to present to you and your family two of the most exciting audio teachings that I have done in many years. Will Jesus Return by 2033? And the special teaching, The Soon Closing Out of the Church Age. Now, I want to talk for a moment and tell you that I'm not predicting the return of Christ in 2033, but I am saying to you that it is the most pivotal transitional date that we have encountered in our lifetime and in modern history. And I'm going to show you why that 2033 is the most important prophetic date in the prophetic cycle. And we're going to talk about God's calendar and God's timing and the events surrounding where we are going in the distant future. I also want to present to you a very special teaching, The Soon Closing Out of the Church Age. The church age is also known as the dispensation of the grace of God, and it will eventually come to a conclusion, Christ's return. Then the wrath of God is going to be globally released in what is called the Great Tribulation. Now, on this two audio CD series, you will discover details on how, why, and when this major prophetic transition will occur. Man, this is a very powerful message. It is filled with fascinating new insight, and it provides keys to understanding soon coming events. Now, you can now get both of these audio CD messages. There are four CDs, 4 hours of teaching for your love gift of $30 or more. We really need your help to keep Manifest on the air. The way that you order this special teaching is by going to perrystone.org and ordering online, or call 1-888-21-BREAD toll free and order that way. Or you can also write me at Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. Now, when you call or write, you have to request offer number PR-138, and it is the special brand new prophecy updates. We're hoping to hear from you, and we just pray that God will continue to bless you.
Make plans to attend the 2023 International Prophetic Summit, April 27th through 30th at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee. Come hear the latest prophecy updates from Jonathan Kahn, Lance Wallnau, Jimmy Evans, Mark Biltz, Bill Cloud, and Perry Stone. There is no fee to attend, but you must register online at perrystone.org, where you will also find information on hotels in the area. Seating is limited, so sign up today. Don't miss fresh insights and exciting new prophetic revelation at the 2023 International Prophetic Summit. Register now.
It's always, I'm always glad to know that you have joined us for our Manifest telecast. And, you know, we keep the program on the air by you purchasing the resources. But we do not get any kind of money back in our pockets or royalties from any of this resource material that we put out. All this goes back to the Voice of Evangelism Ministries 7-point outreaches. So, the soon coming closing out of the church age, this is the actual key to the rapture of the church right here, was when this concludes. And I'll explain to you how you know it's concluding on this. And this is a subject that I have I've questioned for quite some time, because this is the most pivotal day in the prophetic calendar, the year 2033. Will Jesus return by 2033? Now, I want to make this clear. Don't go on there and say, oh, Perry Stone said Jesus. No, you haven't even heard the teaching yet. I'm showing you why this is a pivotal date. And it's a pivotal date of prophecy. Jesus can come back at any time, in my opinion. And he'll come back in a day and hour that you are not looking or you're not expecting. And that's important to keep that in mind as well. Now, a lot of you may not realize that over the period of many, many years, I have worked on a commentary on the Bible, and we have the Bible in the entire commentary. It's a 1 million word commentary, and an Old Testament's about that thick, New Testament's about this thick, and you can go online at perrystone.org and order those. I'm going to tell you something, it'll take you months and months and months to go through just the commentary, and pastors love it. One pastor read the book of Genesis. He said, the first 10 chapters, I got 10 messages out of just the notes that you made, and I am so thankful to the Lord for that, because, you know, a message that comes from the Lord is for everyone, and it needs to be taught, you know, shared when that revelation is given. And also, I've written over 100 books. Now, some of our booklets that are very old are completely out of print and out of date. You can't get them anymore. And once I run out of a book, I usually do not reprint it, even the ones that are 250, 260 pages. So those are available at perrystone.org. Just want to remind you, this is going to be the month of February. We're going to be coming to the Big Island in Hawaii for 4 services, Sunday through Wednesday. We're going to be coming to Maui Sunday through Wednesday. And we, you know, my wife keeps up with those volcanic eruptions over there. And she says, do you think it's okay? I said, well, Lord willing, we're going there, okay? So for you on those islands, we love you guys. The Hawaiian people are some of the greatest people in all the world. Please come out and hear me preach and minister, and let me get to know you. And of course, we always carry some of our resources with us so that you can get them over there as well. But thank you for your time and prayers. Go to perrystone.org for our website, Perry Stone Ministries Facebook page, and the Perry Stone YouTube channel. Subscribe to that, because our Israel teachings are now being played on YouTube on our channel. Thank you. God bless you.
Expand your understanding of Scripture. Advance your effectiveness in ministry. Earn certification for your knowledge of the Bible. International School of the Word. Developed by Perry Stone and Dr. Brian Cutshall, ISO.org is the premier online Bible school with dozens of courses, hundreds of lessons, and thousands of students all over the world. Sign up for one of our exciting, affordable Bible courses and begin your journey at ISO.org today.